This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again. It's this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We've been here bringing you these studies now on the coming of our blessed Lord for a few days, and we're going on down the line. We've got several more studies. We recently completed that study on Satan, the God of this world. It's about 19 CDs, and I offered them to you for $1 per CD, Satan, the God of this world. Some folks have gotten two or three sets to give to their children, their family. But if you would, I wish you'd think about it. We bring you this study on the soon coming of our blessed Lord. It's been great. Four or five studies we've already had. And I thought about this morning. I tell you oftentimes, I tell old Dan, well, I've been a-thinking, Dan. Just been a-thinking, amusing over things that happened. And oftentimes folks will call me and they say, Pastor, tell us about how the Lord saves a sinner. Well, let me just take a few minutes this morning and tell you a little bit. I was just an old country boy raised here in South Louisiana. I've told you this a few times. And I didn't ever go to church. My family was not religious at all. And there I come up, went in the Navy and got out and met my wife and married her. Never had been to church, but she was a church girl. So I started attending service with her, little old church, little old Baptist church. And wasn't long before the preacher talked me into making the decision for Jesus, which I did. Shook his hand, baptized, and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about salvation. I didn't know I was a sinner. I didn't know anything. And the Lord didn't leave me there. He could have. Oh, my friend, if the Lord ever leaves you, what a shape you'd be in. Someone invited me to go here, Brother Shelton, out on their old gospel tent on a Sunday afternoon. And I went, and I believe the first message I ever heard him preach, the Holy Spirit took it home to my heart in a measure. Let me see. Started to work there. It was something wrong. Something different from what I'd ever heard. I heard the truth. I had never heard it before. So I kept going. He stayed there for 4 or 5 weeks, I believe, best I can remember, back in 1953. And the Lord kept dealing with my heart, showed me that I wasn't saved. I just made a decision for Jesus. That's what most of our folks have now, if you even got that. And the Lord began to show me my total depravity. I didn't even know what that meant. I was just a sinner. I heard that verse. It says, we come into this world sinners, sinful. And I heard that verse. It said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, mercifully, graciously, kindly, long-sufferingly, dealt with my heart over a period of time. Let me see. I began to be able to drive to New Orleans. I could hear Pastor Shelton over the radio. And then he'd come up here to Baton Rouge occasionally, and I'd go hear him. But the Lord never left me alone, left me there, crying unto the Lord, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I did. I got honest with the Lord over a period of time. Not right on the way. No, sir, because I wanted my own way, just like you do. Yes, sir, just like you do. But the Lord never left me. And that's why I say it's all a work of grace. No man comes to Christ on his own. The Lord has to draw him, drag him, bring him. And I tell you oftentimes that no man goes to the doctor till he's sick, does he? No. And no, I never would have been saved had the Lord left me alone where I was. Little old church where I was, it's fine people, pleasant, good, comfortable, and good preacher. And I say good preacher, he's kind, gentle. But my friend, he never spoke on how God saves a sinner. That's what we do here. That's the theme of Radio Mission, the Old Trailblazer, how and when God saves a preacher, how and when God saves a sinner, how and when God saves you, how and when God saved me. And that's what we preach here. Folks call me and ask me, say, Pastor, what do y'all preach? I said, we preach Christ died for sinners. Man is a sinner. Christ died for sinners. Some folks chuckle about that. Well, that's all we preach. We got a big plaque over the pulpit here that said, Christ died for me. Not for us. Christ died for me. Pastor Shelton had a man to paint that plaque there in the old tabernacle in New Orleans. And he come back over to the office. He said, I got it painted, preacher. He said, well, I want to go look at it. And it was high up on the wall there in the old tabernacle. Pastor walked over there and he had Christ died for us. He said, no, Joe, you didn't put what I gave you. I wrote down what I wanted. He said, well, I got up there. Christ died for us. He said, Christ died for me. He had to get up there and redo it. And we got it here hanging over our pulpit here in Walker. Time after time, my friend. But let's get back in our study now. I'll tell you more about how the Lord saved the old trailblazer in another broadcast one time. And now let's turn in the epistle to the Thessalonians, we find it, the Apostle Paul there commends them because they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Some of those Thessalonian Christians had lost some of their loved ones, and they were sorrowing after the dead, not certain as to what relation they would sustain to the coming of the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul writes to them in these words. Don't you appreciate when some godly man gives you instructions? I do. I look at all of those people, Paul and Peter and Timothy every one of them. I look at them as instructors of the word to my heart. It's just like they're talking to me, my friend. But now listen, here he's telling these brethren and sisters, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, listen, I've conducted funerals all over America. One of the verses I use is this right here, that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Oh, if you have no hope, my friend, I see so many today, and I attend some funerals where these young men go out on a night, Saturday night, and rip and run up down the road and drinking, smoking, eating, drinking dope. And they hit a wall or go in a creek or go in a river, never come out alive. And the preacher will stand, heap laurels on those folks' head, to please the people, to please their mama, to please their daddy. But no, my friend, not the old trailblazer. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, did you catch that? Those which sleep with Jesus. Oh, my friend. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent them which are asleep. That means we won't go first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, that's the words you comfort an individual at a funeral. If one of his loved ones or her loved ones have gone on and they knew the Lord, you can comfort them with the fact that they'll come back. The Lord will bring them back. One day, one of these so-called learned professors was standing there in front of a large group of preacher students, and he said only the Thessalonian Christian knew what Paul meant in this selection of scriptures about the second coming, as it was written to them only, and they alone had the key to understand it. It was not written for us today, therefore we can't understand it. Oh, my friend, as we do not have the key to unlock it. He was just skinning his ignorance, I believe, wasn't he? He had no knowledge of what was going on. Listen, before a class of students, and because of his modernistic and skeptic and agnostic views, denied the blood redemption of Christ, therefore, denying one of the greatest scriptures on the second coming of our blessed Lord back to this earth again. Paul wrote this to those sorrowing saints at Thessalonica, and as it was written for every sorrowing saint in all ages, that's you and me, my dear. That's me and you, my dear. It is so simple and plain that even a child can understand it. Let's just look at what he said. Listen. Let's just glance back. He said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not like those whose harm no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus. Now that's the key, my friend. Those which sleep in the Lord, those who died in Christ. Now, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We've spoken about that shout many times. I don't know what it will be, but I believe it will be a great shout. With the voice of the archangels, you may say, look up, folks, look up. Listen, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've told you, those old tombs there in the Arlington Cemetery, there in Tennessee where those Confederate soldiers are buried, there in New Orleans where those old masonry tombs are built where nothing can bother them, they'll crack open like an eggshell, my friend, if one of God's elect are in there, and they'll come forth to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, folks, wherefore, Trailblazer, comfort your folks with these words. One day, as I was telling you, that old fellow was talking about it. He was just skinning his ignorance now and explaining all the way. And he says there in 14th verse, Paul does, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the key, I told you. We must be saved. We must be born again. And I just tell you, my voice is tightening up on me. My throat's tightening up. But I go on. I keep on. We just got another couple of minutes. But I just asked you, folks, are you enjoying these studies at all? They're all available on CDs. There'll be about 15 or 20 of them. Like those I told you about on this Satan, the God of this world. I wish you'd write me. I'll send you a catalog of all of our series and a price listing on all of them. And then, I never hardly mention it. I fail to. We have Pastor Shelton's messages in print. I think I have over 400 titles of messages on CDs. And but I'll send you a title list of all of those messages. Pastor, you need good study material. Youth leader, you need something. I had there in New Orleans, I had four the seminary students come in the bookstore one day and they was browsing around, and I gave them some booklets, and they said, we're going to put them out on the campus over there at the seminary. I said, well, your professor might not like them because they're modernistic to the core. He said, oh, we don't tell them we're doing it. We don't tell anybody. They run us off the campus if we told them. But I told those fellas, I said, if you call here and get a copy of this whole set of Brother Shelton's booklets in print form, it's better than a seminary education. We have a message on almost every text of the Bible, every subject matter of the Bible. And they're just like a treasure, my friend, just like digging up a treasure and finding them. We've had folks do that. And we've sent them out free and postpaid. We always welcome a small donation to help pay for the postage and the paper. Once in a while, we have to buy truckload of paper costs $10,000-$15,000. And I had a lady call me the other day, and she said, Pastor, you mean you have to pay for get on these radio stations? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, we sure do. She said, well, I really didn't know it. I'll begin to help you with the broadcast. Would you do that, my friend? Would you write to old Trailblazer and say, you know, Trailblazer, I don't believe everything you say. Some folks tell me that. But I believe most of it. And I believe you're true and honest with us. And I want to help you with the broadcast. And they do that. They send the credit, give me the credit card number, and we put it from $1 to $100 or $1,000, whatever. And we don't beg for money. You know we don't do that. But I would like you to help us. And remember, I often give you my phone number. It's area code 225-664-8658. Call me any morning, early in the morning. Goodbye, and God bless you. If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.